each of you worked with a chef at your school, right? And is that chef also the chef that is providing school lunches, or this is a chef that's there to teach you primarily? Let's make sure we acknowledge the chefs. You mentioned, was it Chef Josh?
Yes, that was our chef that helped us.
And who was your chef?
Oh, my chef was, his name was Chef Brian.
Chef Brian. And your chef, Hama?
Chef Fishner.
Fishner. And what a great experience. Are there winners in this competition? These are the winners?
Well, so the winner of the cook-off has been decided, and it will be announced at the showcase on the 25th. And then there's also going to be a winner of the showcase. And so the cook-off is more about, like, the technique and the food and the plating and texture and color. And then the showcase will be more about showcasing what the kids actually learned in doing this. So they'll have to talk about school lunch and what it means to have a healthy school lunch and the components of that. And so there'll be a winning team for that. And then there's also going to be winners for affordability, nutrition, scalability, which means can the recipe actually be for a big group of children, or, you know, can it be made for 1,000 kids? And then there will be also affordability, scalability, nutrition, and there's a Kids' Choice Award, too.
Before we finish up, thanks, Jalees. Could I ask you, give you a chance to rehearse for that event? Why school lunch, breakfast, maybe even after school snacks and meals? I'll tell you, especially this week, there's been a lot of criticism nationally regarding everything from Meals on Wheels to school lunches. What would you say to somebody who might be questioning the importance and why is it important to have lunches available for kids?
I feel it's important because when you're at school, if you don't have any days off, school is 5 days a week. And if you have lunch, that's 5 meals for that whole week. And also if you include breakfast, that's 10 meals. And there's a total of 21 meals, so that's about half of the meals that you eat half of the meals that you eat are at school. So that's very important that you get what you need to be eating so that you stay healthy, you don't go home being hungry, and you don't get sick or anything.
That's a really logical way of looking at it. You know, they say you spend a third of your life sleeping, right, or a third of your life working, since you typically work 8 out of 24 hours or sleep 8 out of 24 hours. You have half of your meals at school. That's a really good way of looking at it, Savannah. What do you think?
I think that school lunches are important because some children, they need, like, the nutrients to grow up and be healthy, especially if they're, like, playing sports, because what they eat affects how they perform in all types of sports. And you just might not know somebody else's problems at home, and you would just, like, because they might not know if they're going to go home and eat or not.
Those are great observations. And you just reminded me, too, that when you eat together at school, it's a community activity to eat with other people and to be part of a community as you eat. Let's get some final thoughts from Amma to that question. What do you think? It's hard to be the last one.
I think school lunch is so important, not just in kids' lives, but also the community altogether, because kids are, like, they're the beginning of a community, and by feeding them well, they learn better. They get better educations, because who can learn on an empty stomach, a half-full stomach? No, we need to, like, fill up students' stomach with good food so they're full and they're ready to learn, so they can make a better community for a better tomorrow. I think it all starts with the grassroots. It all starts with the students.
I see Jalees smiling from Community Kitchen from ear to ear. Congratulations to all of you, sincerely. I hope the competition goes well. My sense is that this is work from your heart, that you're probably not as – I don't think any of you would be disappointed if you didn't devastated if you didn't win the competition, because I sense this is something you all care so deeply about doing. Am I right about that? It seems that way. This is part of you. And you can get more information about Community Kitchen from its website, Jalise. Is that the best place to go?
Yeah, absolutely. CKPGH.org, or we're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So you can check out lots of cool pictures of the kids on either.
Excellent. Thanks to all of you for being here today, and good luck. And please keep in touch as you do things. I'd love to hear more about your continued education and your careers. Do all of you want to work professionally and owning a restaurant, or no, not necessarily? What are you thinking?
I've been thinking about this, even though it's kind of early, but I was just thinking about what do I want to be when I grow up. And I've narrowed it down to like a couple of things, but there's just like a whole list I can go on forever.
That's a Josiah, yeah.
But I really want to become a doctor, but I'm not sure if I want to become a veterinarian. Do I want to become a nurse? Do I want to become a pediatric nurse, a doctor that works with children, or just something in the health science field, like a herpetologist, studies reptiles? Do I want to become a marine biologist? It's just so many options.
And you're in eighth grade now, so you've got time to figure it out, right? What about you, Savannah?
I don't necessarily want to own my own restaurant, but on the side, I like to do cooking for different things. But the main thing I want to focus on is being a lawyer and a judge, because I feel I have what it needs to be a lawyer, and I just like being a lawyer and stuff. It's very fun to me.
How come a judge?
I want to be a lawyer and a judge because at my school, when I was younger, from second to sixth grade, we have this program, sort of like micro society, where it's like out here in the river where you can start your own ventures and agencies. You can purchase things. We have shopping days. And in that position, most of the time, I was a judge and actually earned the name Judge Lewis, which was very helpful to me because that just made me want to do it even more, because I like the respect I get. I like helping other people. I like giving justice to people, and it's just very exciting and fun for me.
That's great. That's Savannah Lewis, and we'll finish up with Amma. Jermaine, your career, do you have any ideas what you might like to do?
Listen, I'm a junior in high school. I think a big part of high school is not knowing what you want to do 5 minutes from now.
I think you're right.
So I don't even know what college I want to go to yet. It's all part of a plan. It'll happen eventually. And all I know is I want to do something which benefits people. So I'd love to do something in politics. You know, I'm just discovering my options.
That's a great answer. And I'm not sure if you ever stop exploring options, even through adulthood, too. Thanks to all of you. I'm really proud of you and so happy you could join us today. I know Saturdays, every day is going to be busy. Amma, Josiah, and Savannah, and Jalise, thank you. How nice to hear that Project Lunch Tray feature from March 18th, 2017. I'm excited to present Julianne Wright to you. She's ready to go and will be here live in our next hour, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Chad Green and Ricky Berger and the aforementioned Julianne Wright. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, radiophoenix.org, and internet radio stations and streaming services, including TuneIn, Simple Radio, Radio Garden, and slbradio.org/radio.
1, 2, 3, 4. long distance information. Give me Memphis, Tennessee, and help me find a party. Yeah, buddy, trying to get in touch with me. Oh, she couldn't leave her number, yeah, but I know who place to call. 'Cause my uncle took the message, yeah, and he wrote it on the wall. Tell me information. Get in touch with my Marie. She's the only one to phone me here, yeah. From Memphis, Tennessee. Her home is on the south side. High on a ridge. Just a half a mile. Mississippi Bridge. Information more than that I cannot add. Only that I miss her and all the fun we had. But we were pulled apart because her mom did not agree, and tore apart our happy home in Tennessee. I saw Marie, she's waving at me goodbye, with a hurry home drops on her cheek that trickle from her eye. Marie's only 6 years old. Information, please. Try to put me through to her in Memphis, Tennessee.
David Grisman and Mike Seeger backing John Hartford in Memphis. And that's from the album Retro Grass here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Glad to have you with us. A quick note, if you enjoy the Saturday Light Brigade, we hope you will consider enjoying our podcasts, two of which are Crossing Fences and From There to Here. You can learn more about everyday Pittsburghers. You can subscribe to them wherever you look for podcasts.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial, providing customizable radio automation software and streaming solutions to radio stations, broadcasters, and businesses around the world since 1999. Additional information is available at spatial.com. That's SPACIAL.com.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible by an amazing staff, Director of Operations Robert Gray, Director of Programs Janessa Schuler, Associate Producer Alexis Thompson, Manager of Special Projects Tad Whistle, Senior Staff Educator Ben Rutkowski, Director of Development Susan Blackman, Staff Educators Deanna Barringer and Britt Hafley, Director of Production, or I should say, one of these days I'm going to get Chad's title right, Manager of Production and Distribution, Chad Green. I know what it is. It's just never comes out right. Our senior or our high school intern this year is Morgan McCray, and executive producer Ricky Berger. And this is Larry Berger. And you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. I'm so happy the live music has arrived. It gives me somebody to keep me company. And I can't wait to hear her based on the sound check, but also based on how much our associate producer, Alexis Thompson, has told me about her. You'll get to know her throughout the hour. Please join me as we welcome Julianne Wright.
I've always liked carnival rides, so whirl me away. 'Cause things can get all round here. I don't always land in a place that fits like a glove. But being resourceful's a good thing to learn. Bum, 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 bum. So I'm following the wind wherever that leads. I'm running with the leaves, floating with the breeze. I go. Time here, I have to agree. Bum, 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 bum.
That's Julianne Wright. Tell me about that song. When did you write it, and what were you feeling when you wrote it?
Well, I was, it was during the year of lockdown when everything was closed, like July 2020. I had been bored out of my mind in June. Luckily for our family, we could all work from home, but I was really bored. All of June, I did nothing. So July, I made myself a challenge to write a song a day. I wrote 23 songs, so, you know, two out of three ain't bad. But this was one of the last songs that came out of that, and I was sitting at my piano, big picture window, old oak tree, and the wind's blowing the leaves, and I just, you know, sometimes you just play some chords and you improvise into the voice memo, and it turned into this song. So it was a song of freedom while locked behind a picture window.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
I'd like to get to know you a little bit better. Can you tell me, are you from Pittsburgh originally, or how is it? You can take us from birth to now, but you can choose as much detail as you think is relevant.
Sure. My husband and I moved to Pittsburgh by way of East Central Ohio. But for me, Naval Hospital, Dad was at sea when I was born, then Ohio, all the families in Southwest Ohio.
Where is East Central Ohio? Or did you mean East Central Ohio, like the
East,
state
oh,
is?
East Central Ohio.
Oh, East
we
Central.
Were in, like, you know, Dover, New Philadelphia. They would argue that that is East Central Ohio. But East Central.
That's my ears.
Diction
probably.
Is important.
No, that's really funny. I thought you said Essential Ohio. I'm sure.
From now on, that's going to make T-shirts.
I like it. What brought you to Pittsburgh?
Husband had a job transfer, and I was just getting to a point where I was ready to kind of for a change. And I had taught public school music for 16 years.
Wow.
Great kids. I mean, you haven't lived till you hear the middle school wallflower audition herself into the lead of the musical, and she turns into a butterfly right before your eyes, and it's fabulous. But also, performing and production are also fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, what was the question?
No, you're right. So you taught public school, and now you're giving lessons, right?
I teach actually kinder music classes for Kathy's Music, and they do provide birth to age 7 for the kinder music classes, and then lessons, and they partner with a local Montessori school, so I do their music once a week through Zoom right now.
Yeah, and it seems to work okay.
Yeah.
Musicians I know that give lessons are finding Zoom to be, it's not perfect, but it can get the job done.
Yep.
When did you start playing, or when did you discover your love for music?
I was the only girl on one side of the family, and so I was always center stage as a child, like baby. And my first public performance was at an Oregon Stop Pizza in Phoenix, Arizona, because my grandparents had moved out there. I was 7. I sang the Mickey Mouse Club theme song.
Very nice.
You know.
Who's the leader of the club? The man for you and me. That one.
I was very into it, apparently. There's no video because cell phones had not been invented.
We can all imagine it, though. And you were like, Phoenix, Arizona was taken by storm, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Big news. Wow. But then I wrote songs from except for the one about soup when I was 5, all open chords, soup, I love soup, very complicated lyrics. But from 6th grade on, I wrote songs. And then I didn't write them for a long time because I was teaching kids. And then in 2009, I had a brain surgery for a seizure disorder that suddenly came up when I was 7 months pregnant with my second child.
Wow.
If you want to freak your spouse out, go into a seizure in the middle of the night
when you're pregnant.
When
you're 7 months pregnant.
Yeah.
How was your recovery from that surgery, if you mind my asking?
No, it was fine. I mean, it was, for brain surgery, it was fairly routine surgery. But yeah, it was just I had a big headache for several weeks and couldn't drive for a while. But as I was recovering, it was sort of like the callus of adulting had been removed. And I remembered that when I was 13, I wanted to open for Van Halen, and I was supposed to be a rock star.
I love the way you express that, the callus of adulting. One reason I asked you is my mom had a brain aneurysm when she was in her early 50s. I could figure out the exact year right now, but it's not that important. But she had to have a couple rounds of brain surgery, and she had significant cognitive loss, nearly all of which she gained back. Actually, all of which she gained back. But the first thing she gained back was the ability to play the piano, and quite well, I might add, pretty much as well as she did before. And it was remarkable see that. Just incredible to see that.
Yeah. Music is kind of magical. There, the Kathy's Music School, before the pandemic, we were starting to do some classes with memory units in senior centers, and we would do a kinder music class. They get to see the toddlers, and then they sing the songs, and I mean, there is a switch that turns on when they hear the music and see the kids. So yeah.
I want to learn a little bit more about you, but why don't we hear another song? What would you like to play next?
Sure. This one is called Pick Yourself Up. I wrote it, it was Father's Day at the time, so I sort of wrote it from a parent perspective, but it's really for anyone who has influence on kids and stuff. So here we go.
Thank you.
yourself up. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. The bright lights are up ahead. Don't show them your fear. Don't show them your pain. Don't show that you hear. Make your own world instead. This world. Speak up, rise above, make it better for those who will follow your lead, and through you they will know. The world will try to bring them down, the bullies may try to push them around.
That is Julie Ann Wright, and your website, I think, is simply juliesongs.com, right?
Yeah, Julie with an I.
J-U-L-I. I was going to say, or Judy with an L, but not quite, not quite. Let's not confuse people. juliesongs.com, Julie Ann Wright, and I'm curious about your singing. You have a remarkably clear voice that just delivers these songs of yours so well. Did you study singing or take voice lessons, or how did you come by the talent that you have?
Well, I have to, I mean, some credit to genetics. Both of my parents were musicians. My dad was like, he won the John Philip Sousa Award in high school. My mom was the lead in the musical, that whole thing. So I always had music around. But I did go to school for the music education, and I was a vocal major. So I did perform like an opera role in grad school, but there's some classical training that is usually helpful, sometimes gets in the way if I'm trying to sing like I don't have training.
Yeah.
It's hard to turn it off.
I'll bet. And I didn't mean to either, as I think about it, to immediately assume that you've got that training, although I had a feeling you kind of know it when you hear it, and it's hard to explain, but it's just the presence, I think, of your voice, it knowing exactly where to be and how to be and how it comes across.
Well, thank you. That's awesome.
Did you go through a period when you were, I think you pretty much do all of your own songs, you mostly or exclusively perform originals. Did you go through a time when you were playing other people's songs?
Yeah, I mean, I do play the occasional cover. I do usually gravitate toward Tori Amos. It just depends, because sometimes you do sort of get sick of your own songs. You know, and or it's just not how you're feeling today, and I'm feeling more like One Tree Hill by U2. I've done.
Yeah, there are times you want to let somebody else do some of the work, basically, right?
Right. Yeah. Or maybe I'm not emotionally ready to give myself out. Like, you know, I mean, sometimes there's when you're kind of retreating, as creatives like to do sometimes, you know, you're out there and then you hang out in a cave for a few days and gather yourself.
Yeah.
And if I'm like that, I want to sing someone else's words for a little bit.
The peaks and valleys. A lot of performers are introverts, and folks don't realize that or prefer to sometimes be withdrawn. That's where the ideas come from, usually, or when the ideas come. Beginning singing at the age of 7 in Phoenix, you were mentioning. As an adult, when you started to play again, I guess after your son was born, did you begin playing more as an adult and writing more?
Yeah, it was really more after the surgery, because right after that came the recording school and the move. So then, because another thing with the teaching is I have 5 billion songs in my head that are all about frogs. And there's not really a lot of room. Or sometimes it's a motet, you know, but it's not a lot of room for original ideas because there's so much kicking around in there. So it was kind of a nice vortex of nothingness to kind of chill in for a while.
I can imagine. What I'm curious about is you write songs, beautiful songs, evocative and personal. What was it like to play those out initially? That is a very intimate part of you.
Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking, and I was surprised because I had done the classical solos for the Hallelujah Chorus, but it's different when it's your own words. But it was, Facebook keeps reminding me, it was 2012, around this time of year, I sang an open mic at David's Music House in McMurray, which is like in a little strip mall. Great, you know, it was a great place. They had just started, and it was a friendly crowd, and I didn't have to drive to the scary city because I'm a small-town Ohio girl and hadn't ventured this way yet. And the reception was really good. You know, you go out there, and you're tentative, and then you get the validation, and then that energizes you. You know, applause is really addictive.
Isn't that something, the difference in your spirit as you're driving to McMurray, in that case, that day, and as you're driving back home, you know, this, call it fear or just uncertainty, followed by this sense of accomplishment or confidence, maybe, as you go on. Do you get out? I know lately you've not, probably, but ideally are you hoping to get out and play live more often with audiences?
Sure. Yeah, I try to get out to the Acoustic Cafe at the Funhouse on Monday nights when they're closed for a while, I think. But it's fun to try out new ideas there, and I know I have supportive friends. It's a safe space too. And even when I didn't, it was a supportive space. I'll give them that too. But yeah, I was just starting to get to that booking shows at real venues that weren't farmers markets and, like, you know, church basements, which are great places. But in February 28th of 2020, I had turned 50 in January of that year. And I pushed back against that by saying, I'm going to have a showcase for my birthday. I invited a lot of my friends, and we had a big show, and it was like my coming out party, you know, February 28th, 2020.
There it is.
And then, oh, is. Well, so there were like, yeah, I had like six things scheduled after that that had to either be moved to virtual or canceled. And then, you know, so I kind of got pushed back into my producing songs in my basement sort of mindset. So I don't know.
Well, I hope you get a chance to have that. A big party. I turned 60 during the pandemic, and we didn't have much of a big party. We hoped to have a little bit of fun, but it didn't materialize.
Oh, jeez. It was close. That was...
how old are your kids?
My kiddos are 16 and 18.
And are they finding music as well?
Yeah, the 16-year-old is in band. She had played cello for a long time, and now she's a flute player in the band and is excited about that and marching band, because go band, Geeks Unite, love it.
Yeah, I know. Were you in the band?
I was, and while my daughter plays flute, I wanted to play flute, but I was told we have a clarinet in the closet, so I played clarinet, and then eventually morphed to pit percussion because they looked like they were having more fun.
Yes, percussionists. I played timpani, and in marching band, I wasn't good enough to play snare, nor did I really want to, but I wasn't. Many people think, oh, the snare drums, you know, that's the easiest thing. You only have one drum in front of you. I played, you know, three drums in front of mm-hmm. me, what we call the triples, interestingly mm-hmm. enough. But the snare is hard, fast, precise, and not exactly something I was very good at. But timpani, I could read music. So that was, at least in my school, a lot of drummers were fine reading notes on one part of the staff, you know, represented mm-hmm. by X's rather than notes. But I actually understood pitch, so that helped a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, because you have to have a good ear for a timpani, right? You got to tune it all the time.
Yeah, it was fun. This, if you're just joining us, this is Julianne Wright, singer, songwriter, and her website is juliesongs.com, juliesongs.com. What would you like to play next?
Well, when I said I was going to do this, as I was saying, my friend Distelfink was on in November, and we were chatting at the Acoustic Cafe, and he's like, oh, are you going to play February Gray? And I thought, I don't get song requests very much, so, and it's almost February. So this is February Gray.
February gray.
Pushes closer, stumble in the dark. I'm taking Bruce to heart when he says a fire needs a spark. I'm a dim light in the darkness, but I want to shine real bright. Be that floating lantern that illuminates the night. Oh, this February gray leaves me in a fog. Do I have anything left to say in this February? If there's anything left to say, this February gray.
Jillianne Wright with a song that mentions the month of her birth as well as the way February often looks. Although, you know, winter is not my least favorite. I've mentioned this before. I actually would put summer in fourth place. Not that I don't like summer, but I would put winter maybe in third place. I like the neutrals of spring and fall. But that's a good winter kind of song for the way we're feeling. Yeah. Although winter might belong in last place on a day like today. It is. We had folks calling up today who are listening on our affiliate in Clarion reporting true temperatures of 16 below, 12 below, not wind chill, but true thermometer temperatures. So we'll All count right. our blessings.
Welcome to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to mention the website again, which is juliesongs.com. And I was curious, Julie, you mentioned taking a recording class. Have you put any of your music out to have people download or purchase?
Yeah, there is. I have a Bandcamp account, and some of my songs are on Spotify. I'm trying to think. Pick Yourself Up is on Spotify. And yeah, if through the website, you can link to all the stuff. I actually have an album full length coming out May 20.
Excellent.
That has the Following the Wind and a couple of the other ones you'll hear today.
Make sure you let us know when that happens so
sure.
we can try to feature it and mention it. It's I'm sure the folks have asked you this before. There's a few people who I hear in you, One is Holly Neer, who you may not know, but another is Carole King, who I'm sure you know.
I get that one sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. And it might just simply be the combination of piano and vocal, which is true with both of those particular artists. But you're also very much, clearly very much your own person. And it's really fun to listen to your songs. And I hope you'll publish your lyrics, too, as you put them out. I think it's important to
do
that.
Absolutely. I know I wanted to, like, the whole thing, the credits. I was the girl who read Ted Templeman produced the Van Halen album, and I could tell you, like, the track listing. But you could find out the acknowledgments. Oh, they know this person over here. I didn't even know they were connected. There's so much. I miss that part about the current digital situation. I hope a lot of the credits and lyrics and stuff come back, because I would read the lyrics as I was hearing the songs for the first time.
Me too. And there are many artists that, for whatever reason, don't think it's important to publish their lyrics. Like, oh, nobody wants to know those. We do. And it really helps. I played a song earlier this morning by Ann Feeney that I believe dated to 1988. And I wanted to check the lyrics. And in doing so, I found the booklet that came with the original album, which I hadn't looked at in a long time.
Yeah.
And it was really fun to look at all the detailed credits. And I think people still want those artifacts. CD sales are actually up a little bit. And as I'm sure you know, vinyl sales, I believe, surpassed CD sales.
I heard that, yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
That's fun. Yeah. I would love, I really feel like the songs on this album are worthy of a vinyl, but I don't, I mean, you kind of just need a following that'll, you know, do pre-orders. It's like a whole thing. It's so expensive compared to the rest. But, you know, maybe I'll just print out the album cover and album size and frame it.
Well, Joy Tujours, who lives in California now, you're old enough to remember these. He brought us a Flexi a couple weeks ago. Do you remember Flexis?
Like, you could get it in the cereal box.
Exactly.
And stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. These little, these little albums that are printed on a very thin plastic. And he didn't remember the cereal box albums. I was talking about those. You could get, like, the Monkees doing a...
Yeah, and then when Dad had the bumpers, like the anti-skid things on the thing, on the, what is it called? You know, on the turntable.
Oh,
The needle would go...
Right.
It would be thick enough to keep it level as it went around.
Yeah, gosh, I forgot about that kind of stuff. Kind of like your first song and the wheel, you know, going around and thinking about that. This is Jillianne Wright. She is live in the studio. It's great to have her here. And we certainly have time for two more songs, maybe three even, as long as you feel comfortable.
Sure.
What would you like to do next?
This one's called We Shine, Shine On. I started studying songs for sync licensing and stuff in 2017, 2018, which made my songs a lot better.
Tell me what sync licensing is. I know what licensing is, but...
You synchronize it to pictures, so it's anything that's on TV, film, or like ads.
Okay, yeah. So and which comes first, the work or the song?
Well, I mean, they want the song to be authentic, so... But there are themes that are good for that sort of thing.
And there are,
like, putting different sections in your song, having edit points in the arrangement that really just good arranging.
So rather than a score which might be commissioned for a film, this is a film that would like to make use of authentic songs that were independently produced. And I know... I don't know if it would be considered lucrative, but I do know a lot of folks have managed to place music that way, and there probably is a huge need for that as we entertain ourselves We entertain ourselves to the point of constantly needing to be entertained. Games need music. There's mm-hmm. so many different venues for music to be licensed and used. Yeah. So this is when you wrote for
this
that purpose.
This is when I wrote. Well, it was, yeah, that was the goal. There was Shine was a concept that was being needed. And I was like, oh, I'll try a song about Shine. So.
And what did you learn about the special needs a song for sync licensing must have?
Let's see. Neutrality, like no, proper nouns. Like, you know, you want to make it general.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So relatable.
Right. And then different sections, like keeping the ears tuned in or more for editors to have cut points when they're putting it to picture, like a big dun, dun, dun. You know, you see that in ads like all the time, right?
Sure. So they could easily be looped or truncated or extended depending mm-hmm. on the producer's need.
Yeah.
Interesting to hear that from your perspective.
Yeah. So this was the first song of 2019. Again, Facebook reminded me because I apparently did a live stream when I wrote it.
So
but anyway.
We Shine, Shine On.
We Shine, Shine On. There's only one you, there's only one me. Both of us afraid of who we're meant to be. Resistance is strong. Remember that part about if you forget the lyrics to your own song? No one can help
no
you.
No one yeah. can help you, or no one will notice, but...
So pretend that didn't happen. Here we
okay.
go. Resistance is strong, but we can shine on. We can make the dreams reality. Envy sparks of light in a velvet night. We shine. Sparks of light in a velvet night. Sparks of light in a velvet sky. Sparks of light in a velvet night. Sparks of light. Shine like stars in the summer sky. We shine like the glimmering sunlight. We shine like the heavens up above. We shine and the world's gonna be. World's gonna be.
Julianne Wright, you can find her at juliesongs, .com. That's Julie, J-U-L-I, songs.com. Was that at 6-8?
Yes.
Forgive the nerdy question. I knew you'd be up for it, though. I was tapping along with that song, and I said, I think this is at 6-8, which is kind of neat for a film, I would think, or use in a licensed work, because it's just got this driving energy to it. Most,
I hope so.
You probably know this as you're listening, but most marches are, many marches are in 6-8. 70s strong.
Also great for driving cars.
Yeah.
Like out west.
Is there a, I'm looking forward to hearing one more song. Is there anything you'd like to mention that we didn't get a chance to?
Oh, golly. Just that on the album, you'll also see other local musician friends who are jumping in.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Whether you play out when you typically have folks with you, or if you'd rather be alone or are typically alone.
Yeah. I typically play out as a solo artist. But again, that going back to that acoustic cafe on Monday nights at the Funhouse, there's a house band. So a lot of my friends in that have joined in, so you'll hear Eric George playing drums on that Shine song, and Jesse Prentice plays bass. Cecilia Kaufman plays cello on a couple of songs. So, you know.
These are all great musicians. It'll be exciting when that's released. And I hope you'll look for Julianne Wright, spelled like the Wright brothers, who, of course, spent time in Essential, Ohio.
Ironically, I went to their bicycle shop as a field trip in Ohio, but my husband's from Buffalo, so whatever.
It all comes together.
I'm sure they're connected.
It's incredible the way it all works. It's been a lot of fun to have you here, and I hope we'll have you back sometime soon.
That would be fun.
What would you like to finish up with?
This is... I wrote it as a New Year's Eve song, but it's sort of become my closer because, you know, every day's a new chance. So this is Let's All Be Wonderful.
Let's all be wonderful to each other this year. Everybody, let's all throw off the weight of anger. Tensions are strung tight in the darkest part of the night. We can overcome this cold and angry cycle. Reach your arms out wide and gather in the light. There's no better time than now.
Julianne Wright.
Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, now Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, now Constantinople. So if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way. So take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul. Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. You just liked it better that way. Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, now Constantinople. Been a long time gone, a Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul. 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 Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. You just liked it better that way. Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, now Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works?
That's nobody's business but the Turks. I gotta turn the monitors down here. Istanbul.
That's They Might Be Giants.
They might be.
Here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for being with us. Thanks to all of our guests today. And we'll meet you here next week on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Yes, Larry Berger gets your weekend off to a good start, and I come in and squash that sucker flat. You're tuned to the new sound of the Bond Valley, Tube City Online Radio, McKeesport, and 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. It is 12 o'clock.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing, or maybe we just stopped trying. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try to make it. Something to be so easy living here with you. You were light and breezy, and I knew just what to do. Now you look so unhappy, and I feel like a fool. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really
Larry Berger and for his guest who mentioned Carole King this morning. I'm Jay Thurber. It's 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh and the news sound of the Mon Valley. Tube City Online Radio at McKeesport. How are you? Well, good afternoon, sports fans. It's not your team to do what you're